John chapter 6, verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now, I'm envious right there. I really am. I can hardly read these stories of Christ and his time on earth where I hear him teaching and think, boy, I'd love to have been there to hear him teach. Here he sat with his disciples and doesn't go into a great deal of detail. It tells a little bit about the conversation, but I always think, what did they talk about? What did he say to them? And a lot more went on than what's recorded in the Gospels. Because John says if everything was written that he'd done, the world wouldn't be able to contain the book. So I can't imagine all the untold stories. But I'm going to find out about them one of these days. I'm going to corner Peter and some of them guys. I'm going to find out about them. The Passover feast of the Jews was nigh, and Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him. He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask, please, Lord, that you would meet with us tonight. It's good to be in the house of God. It is. It's just good to be amongst God's people. It's good to hear the songs of Zion. Lord, it's a privilege and an honor to be able to give back some of what you've given to us. It's just good to be able to participate in every aspect of the service. And Lord, we need you right now. I need you. The congregation needs you, Lord, as we open the Word of God and look at the things, Lord, that are eternal. And we want our lives to be touched and changed and bettered. We want to be more like Christ than we've ever been before. So as we take a glimpse into the heart of Jesus tonight, Lord, I pray that you would cause our heart to long, to desire to be like him, to listen to what he says, and want to be able to say those same things with the same feeling, the same depth of love and compassion. Lord, I pray that you would just make us different because of the time we spend in contact tonight with your eternal word. And we pray for our preacher, Lord. It never seems right. It never seems the same when he's not here, but we pray, Lord, that he would fill our prayers, that you, Lord, would touch his body and strengthen him, Lord, and just help him. And Lord, help him to know he's loved and prayed for tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Of all the stories about Jesus Christ, of all the stories that the Gospels contained, I've just read to you one of my favorites. I love to read the story of the feeding of the 5,000. I think this story is so rich. I think it's so full. I think it contains so much doctrine and so much practical teaching that you probably could schedule a 2-week revival meeting and preach every night on the feeding of the 5,000 and take one point a night and probably not exhaust everything that's in this one story. So I'm going to focus in on just one little part of this story. I'm going to preach a message that I've preached here before, but it's been several years ago. That happens when you get called on to pinch hit. All right. So I'm kind of glad for the opportunity. When I went to my office early this afternoon, and I said to Cheryl about 3, I'm going to go in. She said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to go find me a sermon. That's what I'm going to go do. And I got to commune with God and spend a little bit of time in prayer. It's amazing. The Lord has been speaking to my heart, tenderizing my heart towards a certain area, a certain ministry of our church that I want to kind of lift up. Now, it's not a message just about one ministry, because goodness sakes, these truths that I'm going to touch on tonight applies to all of the ministries of our church. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if I'd feel at home in a church I don't know what I'd do. I think I'd just feel out of place if I wasn't at a church where a bunch of buses didn't cough into the parking lot every single week. I'll tell you, I love the bus ministry. I thank God for the bus ministry. And although I'm not going to preach just on the bus ministry, I want to encourage those of you, if you work on a bus route, I'm talking about either visit on a bus route or drive a bus route, or you're captain of a bus route, or you're a worker on a bus route, would you stand real quickly to your feet, just real quick? And this great army of people that you see right there, folks, every single week, God bless them. Thank you very much. You can be seated. Go out of the highways and byways, compel them to come in that our house may be full. I think bus kids just add a unique distinction to a church. I know they cause a lot of more maintenance problems. I know we probably have to paint more than other people do, replace carpet more than other people do, but that's fine with me, because carpet's not eternal and walls aren't eternal, but souls are eternal. Amen. And I praise God for the bus ministry. We'll get into that a little bit. But I love this story in the feeding of the 5,000, because Jesus here does one of the greatest miracles that he's going to perform, and he does it in plain sight of one of the greatest multitudes that he'll ever perform a miracle in front of. And Jesus has there 5,000 men. We know that that's the number of men that were there. Some people estimate this crowd to be up to or over 25,000, because it wasn't just men that came here. Jesus preached that day, but there was 5,000 men at least. Jesus looked up, and the Bible says he saw a great company, a great multitude. So we know that there was a lot of people here. And Jesus isn't just worried about their spiritual well-being. He was worried about their physical well-being. You know, that's true of you today too. You know, Jesus just is not worried about your family and their spiritual condition. He also is worried and concerned and takes care of, takes responsibility to see that their physical needs are met. He told his disciples, take a look at the lily. It doesn't toil. And look how it's clothed. Look at the sparrows. He said, they don't toil, but yet I take care of them. And take no thought of what you'll eat or drink. Listen, he's concerned about that. You know, he knows how many hairs in your head. Do you know that? That same portion of scripture. God's gonna. I know, Brother Tim. It doesn't take very. He doesn't have to. I won't even guess that number. But he won't have. He probably doesn't have to count as high as in other people's cases. But he cares about us. He cares about us. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that all these years I've been able to sit down the table and reach over and take one of our girls by one hand and my wife by the other hand, and gather in a family circle and look at the table and bow my head and say, Lord, you've done it again. You kept your promise. You provided another meal for us. Thank you. Now, folks, we've never yet had to join hands and look and there be nothing there. Never had. And sometimes maybe it wasn't a whole lot compared to what other people had, but we've always been able to look and say, look, God done it again. He kept his promise. Amen. And he feeds us. He takes care of us. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you about a certain portion of this story, and we'll get down to it here just in a second. Jesus lifted up his eyes. He was concerned about the physical needs of these people here in this place. And he asked the question to Philip just as a teaching tool. The Bible says he knew what he was going to do, but he was testing the disciples' faith. And Philip answered back, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Well, Jesus isn't interested in them just having a little. He was interested in seeing that they were able to eat until they were filled, and that's exactly what he done. But he said, was there anybody here that has anything? And then there was a lad that was pushed to the forefront, 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And the question was asked, but what are they among so many? Jesus said, make the men sit down. And it says there was grass in the place. We read in other accounts where Jesus had them sit down in companies of 50s and 100. And I like the fact that when Christ did anything, folks, you know, he always did it in an organized fashion. And, you know, God's not the author of confusion. God is a God of order. And sometimes I look at some of our attempts to go over to these third world countries, and I see on the news where they'll pull up in a truck and people are surrounding the truck and they're throwing food out and there's mass chaos. And I'm like, you know what, they could learn something from Jesus. You know, they really could learn something from Jesus. I think, listen, Sunday school teachers, your class ought to be organized. Christian school teachers, your class ought to be organized. Bus workers, your bus route ought to be organized. Your program ought to run organized. I think that God's not the author of confusion. I think every ministry ought to be organized. It ought to be done in order. It ought to be first class. It ought to be sharp. It ought not to be slipshod. It ought to be honor God, and it ought to be reflective of a God that's a God of order. Amen. And so Jesus had him sit down, and then he looked up to heaven. And he did what many of us have done this week. He looked at what was there to eat, and he lifted up his eyes, and he gave thanks. You know, folks, I don't understand people who sit down, just dive into a meal and not bow their head and say thank you. Young people, listen to me, whether you're at home or away from home, I don't care if you're in a public place, don't you ever, 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 ever be ashamed of Jesus. Don't you ever be ashamed to bow your head. Those of you who go to the public school, if you go to a public school at lunchtime, you sit down, and you know what? They'll get used to it if you just do it. I mean, when I was in public school, I get to my table, I bow my head, my friends all knew I was going to do it, and they got quiet for a minute or two and let me say my grace, and then we went on and we ate our... Listen, you just do it for Jesus. You do the right thing for Jesus. You know, I love that story about the old farmer that showed up in the town, and he went into a little cafe and he sat down at one of the tables, and he ordered a simple bread, bowl of soup and a little piece of bread with it, and there was a couple old businessmen, worldly men over in the corner, nice suits and everything, and they kind of laughed at you know, old farmer Brown in his bib overalls and his old John Deere hat, and he took it down and set it on the table beside him, bowed his head and gave thanks, and they were snickering while he was praying, and they punched each other and pointed at him, thought it was so funny that he'd pray. And when he got done praying, one of them hollered over and said, hey, farmer. He said, yes, sir. He said, where you come from out there in the sticks? Does everybody bow their head and pray before they eat? And he just looked over them real calmly and said, well, yes, sir, almost everybody but the pigs. Amen. Amen. I think that's good. I don't know about you, but every time I'm at a restaurant or I'm someplace and I see somebody just dive in without praying, I think two words, oink, oink. The two words that occur to me, oink, oink. Good night. God's seen fit to provide for you. You know, how much is it to ask to just bow your head and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for once again providing for our needs. And Jesus gave thanks. He began to break the bread. Now, he teaches us a principle here that we're going to get into in a minute, but he distributed it to the disciples and the disciples to them that were sent down. And folks, you know what? Jesus to this day is still in the business of using middlemen. I mean, he really is. If he's given you salvation, he wants you to take that, what he's given to you, and carry it to somebody else. Amen. That's a blessing. I want to draw your attention to just something that's mentioned in a couple verses here. I believe all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I think everything in the Bible is there on purpose. We ought to look at it, think about it, meditate on it until the Holy Spirit gives us something. But I want to draw your attention to this one part of this story where it talks about the fragments. The fragments. Verse number 12, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that was eaten. Now let me tell you what happened, because I know human nature. The guy sitting at the front there, in the front few rows, was thinking, I'm glad I'm up here because he only has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, and it's not going to go any farther than me. So they begin to pass that out. Boy, the first little bit they got, they ate every bit of it, and all of a sudden they begin to see fold out in front of their eyes a miracle. And soon it was obvious to everybody that there was going to be more than enough to eat. Now, human nature, listen, if we only have a little bit, we'll eat every bit of it. But if there's an abundance, what we do is we tend to get a little picky. All right? Some kids in this room never has eaten that little hard part that goes around a loaf of a slice of bread. I mean, some of you are 15, 16, 17 years old, and you think that that's a wrapper. You don't realize that that's edible. You still tear that thing off, and you eat just the middle of it. And you leave that laying off to the side. I'll tell you what, I think that's the best part. I mean that. I'd rather have the heel with a little peanut butter on it than the middle part with a little peanut butter on it. But some people, and that's our human nature. You know, all of a sudden that first few pieces of fish, man, it was all gone. But all of a sudden, you know, after a while, we'll get the part that's easy to get off the bone and leave the other part. And people begin to get finicky, and they begin to just take what they wanted, and they begin to discard the rest. And I mean, they probably did what most of us would have done at a picnic. They thought, well, we'll leave it here, and at night the critters will come and get it. So they weren't probably too careful with it and threw it here and threw it there and all of that. But and then they got all done. The disciples are basking in this miracle. Incredible. We were a part of that. Did you see that? Every time we'd go back, there was more. And every time we'd go back, there was more. And every time, you know what? That's a picture of God. Every time you go back, there's more. Every time you go back, there's more. And God always has something he's trying to give us, always trying to bless us. And you can't exhaust God's resources. And they get all done, and the disciples are like, isn't that great? Wow, that was wonderful. Wasn't that incredible? And Jesus makes one of the strangest requests that you'll ever find in all of the Bible. He says to the disciples, brings them back over, and he says to them, gather the fragments. Now, folks, we're talking about the leftovers. We're talking about, if you let me say this, the refuse. This is the part that most of us would have scraped off the plate into the garbage or opened the door and scraped it over to the dogs or the cats to eat on. This is not the best part. This is what was left. This is the refuse. This is the throwaways. This is the leftovers. And Jesus noticed them. Now let me give you several points about the fragments. Number one, this world produces fragments. This world produces fragments. Now, folks, we're going to let the multitude kind of picture the world for a few minutes, but this world produces fragments, and the reason that that's true is because sin produces fragments. The devil produces fragments. Young people, listen to me. The devil will promise you everything, but what he will do, and the world and the worldly crowd will promise you everything, but what they do is they'll take you, and they'll take the best that you got, and they'll take the best of your life, and then they'll throw you on the garbage heap as soon as they're done with you, and that's exactly what's happening time and time again all over the country. I mean, Satan is busy producing fragments. He takes a young person's life and he'll promise them, but boy, if you just do this, young lady, you'll be popular with the boys. And next thing you know, her life's a fragment, and she's there with an illegitimate child, and she's in some apartment somewhere trying to raise this child by herself because, you know what, that guy lied to her, like they're doing all over this nation, like it's happened time and time and time and time and time and time again. And listen to me, young people, you're not going to find happiness by taking a shortcut around this book right here. You stick to the principles of this book. And I mean, they'll tell you, listen, you want to forget your problems? Get into the drugs. I just can't believe, me and Brother Johnny talk about it, I just can't believe this problem we've got in this community over this meth situation. And the majority of our jails and the people that are in those jails are there because of drug-related charges and the manufacture, distribution of this meth. It's unbelievable. I mean, folks, it's poison. It's poison. And they're taking this and ingesting it. It's poison. And yet, they'll believe the lie of the devil. Hey, take this. And you can make some fast money. Take this. Listen, you can forget about all your problems. But listen, a few years down the road, after the devil's done with you, he just throws you on the heap. He throws you on the heap. He'll take the best you got, and then he'll throw the rest away when he's done with you. Now, don't listen to the devil. This world produces fragments. Number two, let me give you this. Jesus, I love this. I got such good news for you tonight. Jesus wanted the fragments. Jesus noticed the fragments. I don't think anybody else even paid attention. Jesus looks around and he's eyeballing all them little scrap pieces. Everybody else is looking at them like they're garbage. Jesus didn't think they were garbage. So maybe the world don't want them, but I could get some good out of them. He said, disciples, go pick them up. Go get them. Go gather them up. Now, by themselves, here, there, and yonder, maybe they don't amount to a whole lot, but you get them all in one place, and you know what? You got a pretty good basket full of food. Jesus said, he sent his disciples, he said, go get them. Jesus wanted the fragments. Jesus wanted the fragments. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus loves the fragments. Can I have you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1? I want to remind you of something. I want to tell you this because Pastor told me a story this week, and maybe this is really the underlying carnal reason for me preaching this message tonight. But he told me a story talking to another pastor, and he said that there is another pastor, and he said there was a situation where they had a family come and visit their church and another man's church, and had moved to their community and was trying to decide which church to go to. And he said that when he visited his church, he went out to visit, and he said, listen, we appreciate you coming. He said, we'd like to have you come, of course, be a part of our church and all of that. And he said, well, we're visiting around a little bit. And he said, where else have you gone? And he told him, and he said, okay. And he said, well, wherever the Lord wants you, pray about it. We'd love to have you. We want you in God's perfect will. And he said, you know, I would like to share something with you, Pastor. He said, I really appreciate the fact you got a bus ministry. And he said, the one thing that me and my wife was just got by is seeing those young people brought in. He said, when I went to this other church, they didn't have a bus ministry. He said, it's a fairly large church, but they didn't have a bus ministry. And he said to him, I asked the pastor, because just like you came out and visited me after I visited your church, he did the same thing. And I said, Pastor, let me ask you something. Why don't you all run a bus ministry? And he said to him, this is the report I got. To be honest with you, I hope it's incorrect. I really do hope it's incorrect. But that pastor said to him, well, listen, we don't run buses for a variety of reasons. But, well, to summarize it, I think probably the best way to explain our position, our situation, is that we're after quality Christians. And I said, what? Well, I'm going to tell you something. I haven't quite recovered from that yet. I think Caleb Hall is probably a quality Christian. He's up in Bible college right now preparing for full-time ministry. Well, he found his way to church here first few times on a church bus. Mom and Dad sitting back there wrote in product of the bus ministry. I'm going to tell you something, folks. If we're not careful, we get this haughtiness. We become like the New Testament scribes and Pharisees, where we're not sick and we don't need a physician. You know, there's the drive-in crowd, and then there's the bus kids. Well, let me tell you something. Let me read this to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 26. For ye see our calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. All through my life, I've watched God pass up spiritual big shots and reach right past them and put his hand of power on some scraggly little bus kid or bus teenager. And about the time you think that you're important, about the time you think you're right, about the time you think you're on a whole different level than these other people that come to church a little different way, God will pass over you. Let me tell you something. The honest truth is we're all fragments. We've all been touched by sin. Sin's had an effect in all of our lives. There's none of us that are all that we should be for Christ. And I think none of us are really in a position to be judging anybody else. And Jesus, he said, I'll take the fragments. Nobody else wants them, I'll take them. You know what I say? Blessed hope will take them. Nobody else wants them, we'll take them. Amen. I just think that's what Jesus would do. Unbelievable to me. Amen. Pastored a little storefront church for a few years over in Brazil, Indiana. I've told this story before, but I'm going to say it again because it fires me up. Went and picked got a teenage girl to ride the bus, and she came and received Christ as her Savior. My wife would drive over every Sunday morning, pick her up, bring her to church. She told Cheryl after a few weeks, hey, there's a little girl that lives in a trailer behind us. I think she'd come. And so I said, let's go ask her. And she went back there and knocked on her door and explained to her mom the whole situation. The girl was real timid and shy and acted like she didn't know if she wanted to come. She was 10 or 11 years old. Finally, Cheryl got her in the car, a little gray Dodge Omni church bus that we had back in those days, and running around all over the place picking kids up and bringing them into church so they could hear about Jesus. And this little girl, she pulled up outside and pulled over. If you go into Brazil, Indiana, and you get on Main Street, come in from this direction on 59, you get on Main Street, you take a left, you'll go down a few blocks, take a right on Walnut Street, you'll go up to the library, and on the other side, right before the library, we rented a little storefront. On the other side of the library, there was a church. I'll go ahead and name it. It was the First Presbyterian Church of Brazil, Indiana. And Cheryl tried to find a parking place back there where the storefront is, couldn't find them, pulled up by her by the library, couldn't find them, pulled a little bit farther up near that church. And boy, as soon as she parked there, she got out of the car, and Gloria got out of the car, and this little girl was sitting in the back, and she was absolutely terrified and would not get out of the car. And Cheryl said, well, I want you to come in. She said, no, I don't think so. They won't want me to come. She said, what are you talking about? You've got to ask the preacher if it's all right if I come. And Cheryl come in, and I'm in the middle of getting everything ready. She said, Jerry, I got somebody in the car out here, a little girl, and she won't get out of the car. And she says that until she talks to you and gets permission, it's okay for her to come, she can't come. So I come out, looked down, walked over there, opened the door and said, kiddo, what's going on? Is it okay if I come to your church? It's okay. And I got her out of the car, and Cheryl was there with me, Gloria was there with me, and we started walking the opposite direction of this church. And every step we took, she seemed more relieved. We went in the storefront, she seemed happy, and she sat through the service, and I thought, well, that was the strangest thing. On the way home, Cheryl took her home afterwards to come back, picked up me and the girls. We were heading home, and I said, what was the deal with that little girl? Why wouldn't she get out of the bus? She said, unbelievable, you will not believe this. She said, I got the story finally out of her on the way home. One time, a couple years before that, she'd been invited to a friend to attend her church. She's just a poor girl. I mean, folks, if you just saw what she had on when we picked her up, I mean, she's just raggedy. She just was. She just come out of a kind of a dump of a trailer, a raggedy little girl, unkept hair, and hand-me-down clothes, and she just looked exactly like what she was. And she come into that highfalutin church there with one of her friends, and they at the front would bring all the kids together and have a little mini service and then send the kids out. And right after the service was over, she attended there. She came up forward with all the other kids. They were all dressed nice, and it was one of those churches where the influential people of the community attended and the money attended and all of that. And they had a little meeting. She stuck out like a sore thumb. She went back to it was dismissed out to the children's program. And at the end of the service, get this, this is her story. The assistant pastor came to her, knelt down in front of her, shook her hand. I'm very glad that you came today, and we're thrilled to have you. I think maybe from now on you ought to find a church that better suits you, okay? So we're going to ask that you try to find another church from now on. Now, folks, it started down in my toes and started coming up. I mean, that just gets my blood to boiling. That just sends me into another stratosphere. I want to go get my hands on a Presbyterian and do something unbiblical. I'm going to tell you something. That's a shame. That's a wicked shame. And let me tell you something. We better be careful. We better be careful. The day that we treat somebody that pulls up here in a brand new Lincoln Continental, and I don't care if they've got one, a brand new Lincoln Continental, and a $400 or $500 suit, and gets out with a gold watch on and walks in the door, if we treat them any different than we treat some raggedy muffin kid that comes off the bus, shame on us. Because in God's eyes, the ground's level to crumbs. I just wonder if quality people means money people. I'm sorry, but I'm a little suspicious. I think Jesus, just to take that little bus kid, I think that's who he would have took. Amen. Jesus wanted the fragments. Well, the world don't want the fragments. The highfalutin churches don't want the fragments. We'll take the fragments. We'll even go up one. We'll even go out and bus them in. We'll go get them. I mean, they don't even have to have transportation. They can wake up and stumble to the curb. They can come to church. Now, he sent his disciples to gather the fragments. The world produces fragments. Jesus wanted the fragments, but he didn't go get them. He sent his disciples to gather them. Folks, listen to me. The Great Commission is still in the Bible, and we can't hear it preached on enough. It's our job to go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're to hand deliver it to them. Supposed to take it right out there to him and try to get him to come in. And Jesus still believes that today. God still works under that premise today. And he still expects each and every one of us to be involved in going out and getting people and bringing them to the house of God. Now, folks, I'm for reaching everybody. I mean, we go to the richest neighborhoods in this area, and we go to the poorest neighborhoods in the area. We're going to deliver the gospel to everybody. But you know what you're going to find out if you do much door knocking? There's a reason Jesus said it's easier for a camel to pass through an eye of a needle than a rich man to get saved. I'm just telling you the facts of life. I'm just telling you the way it is. Now, can they be saved? Sure. Sure they can be saved. And God performs miracles. But I'm going to tell you, you get somebody that's got so much that they've become dependent totally on themselves and don't really have a need for God. And you know what? It's hard to reach them with the gospel. But you know what? There's a bunch of people out there that don't have much, and they got an open heart. And I just think we ought to be in the business of getting as many of them as we can get. Amen. God's blessing us for that. We people see people saved around here regularly because of that. And I'm all for keeping those buses running. I mean, let's just take a Saturday, if it takes a Saturday, and let's just come over here and sand until our arms drop off, but let's keep the buses going. Okay, I don't care if gas goes up to $2, $2.50, $3, $3.50, and insurance triples, let's just keep the buses running. Amen. I think it's important. I think God blesses it. I think God blesses a church that has a heart for the fragments. Because the honest truth is, if you'll take a look at Jesus' disciples, I mean, they were just a bunch of fragments that he went around and gathered. We got the fragments out getting the fragments. Well, Pastor Jerry, I'm just not much. And you know what? Good night. If you knew my past, and well, you know what? You qualify. Come on in. Come on and join us. I've got to read this to you because I think this is one of the neatest verses in all of the Bible. a little story about David, and most of you know what I'm going to say, but it's amazing. When David got in trouble with Saul and had to go hide out in the wilderness, and in 1 Samuel 22, it says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam, and when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him, and everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and they were with him about 400 men. Now, folks, if that's not a description of an independent fundamental Baptist congregation, this is what I got. I'll tell you what, I'm going to organize them into an army. By the way, that's the group he got his mighty men from. Those men reclaimed and straightened out and their lives put on track and trained to do the business of the king, went out and did military exploits that are still studied at West Point today. Let me tell you something. God can take a bunch of nobodies and turn them into somebody. And I think the honest truth is, you know what? I'm just a fragment out picking up fragments. I'm not a big shot. God doesn't bless big shots. He just blesses little shots that keep shooting. Amen. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not too good to sweep out a bus. I'm not too good to get out on my knees and give a little bus kid a hug. Snotty nose and all, sticky sucker, some of you teachers giving these candies out. You need to get right with God. I'm just telling you. They don't come for Jesus. They come for candy. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable, right? Yeah, you don't have to ride home on the bus with them when they're wound out, peeking out at their sugar high. You know, man, bouncing off the ceilings, killing each other. Praise God. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to reap that. Every day at the end of the school day, I'm going to start going around handing around Snicker bars before they go home. Here, eat this, man. Here. Eat this and go home. Play with mommy, okay? There you go. What you sow, you're going to reap, amen. That's good. That's good. Amen. Give them a treat. Give them a hug. Shake their hand. Find out their name. Love on them a little bit. Good night. They don't get much at home, most of them. Care about them a little bit. Call them by name. When they get off the bus, Brother Bo, just tell every one of them, I love you. I love you. They don't hear that much. We just keep buying baskets, put wheels on them, a motor on it, repaint it red and white, and drive it all over the place. Fill it up till the wheels fall off of it, and go buy another one. And boy, I'll tell you what, I love the bus ministry. When I went off to Bible college, I appreciate something. I'll tell you, I appreciate something about our teenagers here. I'm glad so many of them working on bus routes. And I know, folks, there's a lot of other ministries, and you know what? If they don't work in the bus ministry, that's fine. They ought to be involved doing something, though. If you're a teenager, then you know what? You don't need to be setting anymore. You know enough. You've been in this church any time. You know enough to show up, put your hands on the deck, and do something. I mean, volunteer to go down there and help them kids in Master's Club, help in a Sunday school classroom, go out and help in children's church. But get involved in a ministry, helping that back there in the nursery. But get involved in a ministry where you're forgetting about yourself and losing yourself in somebody else. Well, that'd be a blessing. I went to Bible college. I got in the bus ministry after a couple years. You know what? You know where I learned to preach? I learned to preach on a bus. You know where I learned to pray? Learned to pray praying over bus kids. You know where I learned to die to self? On a bus route. You know where I learned to really love people? On a bus route. You know where I learned to cry? On a bus route. You know where I learned to win souls? Just on a bus route. I thank God for the bus ministry. I do. You know what? The world don't want the fragments, and it's sad to say most churches don't want them, but I'm going to tell you something. We'll take them. Amen. Well, Pastor Jerry, they don't all pan out. I know. I know that. I know that. Even Jesus, all his disciples didn't pan out. But that didn't mean he didn't love them. Didn't mean he didn't give them everything he had. You know, I'm going to tell you something. This gets to be a high-fluting church, I'm moving my membership. I don't want to be a part of a high-fluting church. I don't want to be a part of a by-class system. I don't want that. Amen. I mean, people are people. They're important. I don't care what kind of house they walked out of, what kind of vehicle they got here, and they're important. And Jesus is still sending disciples out to gather them fragments. Gather them fragments. Now, you kids are lucky enough, I mean is fortunate enough, blessed enough, to be raised in a Christian home, raised under a decent, in a decent house, wear decent clothes, have a mom and dad that love you, take you to church. I'm going to tell you something. Next time I hear you whining, I might get you by the scruff of the neck. drag you up in inner city Chicago and toss you in one of those houses, say, you live here and I'll pick you up in a month. You go home and tell me what you got and what you don't have. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. You know what you need to do? You need to get out there and get on a bus route. You're too self-centered. You're way too self-absorbed. You think this whole world revolves around you. You think you're the center of the universe. You're not. There's people all around you that need somebody to break out of their little shell, break out of their little clique, and go over and love somebody, reach somebody, care about somebody. Gather fragments. We finish with this fourth point. The world produces fragments. Jesus wanted the fragments. Amen. He sent his disciples to gather the fragments. Gathered fragments make up baskets full of good, useful food. I like that. I see them carrying those 12 baskets, coming back saying, look at this, look at this. You see, at the beginning, they didn't understand why Jesus wanted them. When they got it all together, they said, man, that was a good idea. I don't know who got those 12 baskets. It doesn't say. It's 12 disciples, and maybe each one got to keep it for themselves. Because you know what? God does reward those that go out and pick up fragments. Isn't that true? Isn't that true, bus workers? Isn't that true, nursing home workers? Couldn't you stand and tell time after time after time that God blessed you in a special way in the ministry that you're involved in? Isn't that true, children's church workers? Isn't that true, Sunday school teachers? I mean, you just work with the fragments, and I'll tell you what, God will bless you. I don't know if that's true. I think maybe Jesus might have said, you 12, carry that back to that little boy's home. I can almost see his mama opening the door, and here comes this kid back, and he's got a big smile on his face, and 12 grown men carrying baskets of food back in. You know, maybe more than anybody else, he deserved it. Because he's the one that gave up the initial amount. He's the one that said, I'll give my lunch. I'll give it all. And I got 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. I'll tell you what, I'll give you 2 loaves and 1 fish. No, he didn't do it. He said, here, Jesus, you can have everything. Let me share this with you. Boy, get this. Listen, don't shortchange God. You will always come out a winner when you give him everything. Give it all to him. I'll tell you what, gather baskets, fragments make up baskets full of good, useful food. You know what's amazing? God gets a bunch of nobodies and gets them all in one place called the local New Testament church. Gets them organized and enlisted and gets them busy serving him. It's just amazing what could happen. I tell you, I run into people all the time. Bus kids. Got to preach with Terry Angel from Bourbonnais, Illinois, up at Iowa in a camp. Really never knew Brother Terry's testimony, but just a bus kid. If you could go to Bourbonnais, Illinois and walk and park in his parking lot and look at that auditorium that they just finished building and walk in there like we did on a Sunday night and see that service and feel that spirit and see that number of people and look up there and here is a guy that's a couple years older than me. He's 46, 7 years old. And you know what? He's just a bus kid. Well, amen. Amen. I think some bus worker probably has gotten a blessing. I think it's probably worth it. You know, everybody wants to be in the bus ministry except for 4 months, January and February and July and August, man. Those are the, forget, that's when you earn it. It's when you earn it, amen. We went to visit. We went back on our way up on vacation going up towards Iowa, me and Cheryl, and the girls got to stop at First Baptist, and I went to an adult Sunday school class, one of the smaller Sunday school classes, because I had a friend of mine that taught it, and walked in there, and 2 of my former bus kids were a member of his Sunday school class. Is that a blessing? Went walking outside, and here comes a lady that we got to ride the bus when I was in Division 7, and here she come with her sister. Now, folks, you got to understand, this has been years later. And here she comes, and I want to tell you something. I embarrassed her, embarrassed my wife, embarrassed the girls, but I just went over there. She's probably about 55 right now, and she's about this tall, and she's about that wide too. And I just love her. Her name's Mrs. Rivera, and I went over and gave her a big hug, a smooch on the cheek, and I don't do that very often to anybody but my wife, but I did with her, and she's just a lady from my bus route. And go into the First Baptist Church auditorium and look up in the choir and see one of your bus kids that used to ride on your church bus. Get an email from the mission field and it's one of your bus kids that you went up there. Folks, let me tell you something. It's worth it. Yes, sir. They can say all they want to about quality. I don't know what they're talking about. You know, the thing about it is, if you're a fragment and nobody wants you, I mean, you're just a leftover. You're just a piece of garbage in the eyes of the whole world. But Jesus loves you enough to send a disciple over to show you the love of Christ. You never forget that. You never get over it. And you know, once you're rescued and once you're brought with the rest and once you're gathered together, you know what your heartbeat becomes? I want to do that for somebody else. And fragments have a way of growing up into disciples and going out to rescue more fragments. So thinking about our kids. Pastor mentioned the other day about 11 kids in Bible college. I just shake my head at that. I really do. I just shake my head at that. I got to thinking, Paul Chapman, he's a bus kid. And Caleb Hall is a bus kid. And Barbie Jeffrey's a bus kid. I looked at the other ones that were up there. And Rebecca Gordon, a bus worker. And Elizabeth English, a bus worker. And Bethany Ross, a bus worker. Kelly and Katie Ronnie, I don't know if you know this or not, but their mother was a bus kid. Well, I'm going to tell you what, without the bus ministry, I'm not sure we'd have any up there. I don't think we'd have that many. Because either a product of, or their heart's broken on a bus route. Broken for service to God. Now, are all the ministries around here important? Good night. Are you kidding? They all are. They're all essential. If you're not a part of a bus route, listen, there's no first class, second class, third class, fourth class ministries. But I'm telling you, you need to be involved in something where you are reaching people. And you are having an active week-by-week influence in their lives. And helping to bring them along towards a completion. I got a phone call. It's just funny because I didn't know I was going to preach tonight. But I got a phone call last night. Our phone was ringing off the hook last night. I got a phone call last night out of the blue. Hadn't talked to this kid in I don't know how long. And 30-some years old now, Oscar Marino. One of my old bus kids. He just calls up about once every 6 months or a year and just harasses me. I mean, just harasses me. And a deacon at First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. A deacon. Is that unbelievable? If you knew him, you'd think it was unbelievable. He told me that my faith is greatly shaken in the direction of that church if they're getting people like Oscar Marino and making them division leaders. I was up in Iowa preaching with Terry Angel, and I got to talking about an illustration I use in one of the sermons about the bus ministry and when I was in the bus ministry during Bible college. And Terry Angel was the old bus captain from and when he was in Bible college. He's back there hee-hawing, hooting because, you know, so many crazy things you do. And I was telling these illustrations, and I look at the very, very back, and here it was the first night of the meeting. I look back there, and I'm telling the story about this group of kids, this group of teenagers that we used to have. And I look back there, and one of them sitting on the back row, I could not believe it. Sitting by her husband. I got to talk to her afterwards, and I had no idea. I hadn't seen this girl in years and years and years. She's sitting there with three kids, and her husband are the youth pastor and youth pastor's wife at a church at Moline, Illinois. And I'm just sitting there. I absolutely hadn't talked to her in years and years. Let me tell you something, folks. Let's just keep running. Let's just go after fragments. Okay, let them say what they want to about quality Christianity. I'm going to tell you something. Bible says pure religion. Pure religion, undefiled before God the Father is this. Listen, go visit the widows in their affliction and invest your life in the fatherless. Go help the fatherless. Folks, there's a whole society. I don't like it, but I can't change it. There's a whole society where there's kids being raised without a daddy, without a mommy. I mean, they may have people living in the house, but they basically don't have the basic things that we're used to. And boy, when somebody shows up their door and loves them, for the first time in their life, they feel genuine love. And then when they get here, they find out where that love flows from. And they're introduced to somebody named Jesus that'll never leave them, forsake them, that loves them no matter who they are and what they are. And wants to take their lives and make something wonderful out of them. You know what? That's a pretty good deal for a fragment. You can't hardly talk to the people in the rich division, subdivisions about that because they already think they got it all. But you just get some little kid, get some little teenage girl who's been treated ill her whole life. Maybe unspeakable things in her past. But somebody shows up one day and says, listen, let me tell you somebody I love. His name's Jesus. Folks, let me tell you something. I don't know what you want to spend your life doing, but that sounds like a pretty good deal to me. Just go out there every week, knock on doors, looking for somebody that nobody else wants. Gather them in here. Bring them in. Fill the pews with it. Fill them up. Fill them up to overflowing. And then tell them about Jesus. That sounds like a pretty good deal to me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd please speak to our hearts, Lord. I love the ministries of our church. I love the ones that are directed towards those who nobody else wants. I mentioned several times the nursing home. Lord, I think that's such an incredible, selfless ministry. We'll never have a visitor at Blessed Hope Baptist Church from the nursing home ministry. I mean, it has nothing to do with building this church. It just has to do with going out and finding somebody that everybody else has forgotten, trying to be a blessing to them. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to stay humble of heart. Humble of heart. Help us to not forget what this whole thing's about. Lord, I'm glad for the kids here that didn't have to grow up like some of the other ones, and I'm glad that they know how to fix their hair, and they know how to walk, and they've been taught how to talk, and they have manners, and they know more Bible than most of us did at that age. But Lord, if it all goes to their head and they get all proud about it, they ain't going to be much use to you. Lord, God didn't save us so that we could be placed on display. God saved us so we could become disciples that go out after the fragments. So, Lord, I pray that you tenderize our hearts, Lord. There may be somebody in this room that's just not really involved much in investing in anybody but themselves. And Lord, I don't know what direction. I'm not the one to call that. But Lord, I pray that you'd break their heart about getting involved in a ministry here, a local church ministry that genuinely goes out on a weekly basis and tries to help people. There may be someone here tonight that they just heard the greatest news in their life. Jesus loves them. Jesus cares about them. Jesus noticed them. Jesus wants them. If there be anybody here that's not saved, I pray, Lord, that they would come forward tonight and meet the one who has, Lord, we've never loved like Jesus loved. We've never sacrificed like Jesus sacrificed. We haven't even touched the hem of the garment of being like Christ in those areas. Help us, Lord. Convict us. Help us to go forward, to go farther, to do more. Take this message and accomplish your eternal purpose with it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.